Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Let me pray. God, we're amazed by your creation. Thank you, God, for the amazing creation that you've made. Thank you also, God, for your word. Please help us as we read your word today and help me to preach your word faithfully. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you've ever watched ABC on a Sunday Arvo, you no doubt would have seen a nature documentary by David Attenborough. He's an absolutely brilliant documentary maker and lover of nature. He's entertaining, enthusiastic, and important for any documentary. He's British. Attenborough's enthusiasm is infectious. His documentaries often open up with a shot of him in some exotic location or him stalking some endangered creature. Yet despite his obvious intelligence and time spent studying nature and creation, he doesn't see any link between creation and the Creator himself. You see, the whole point of creation is to point us to God. As we look at Psalm 19 today, I want to show you that, one, God speaks to us through creation, two, he speaks to us through his word, and three, how we're expected to respond to God. So point one, God speaks to us through his creation. Psalm 19 is a psalm of David. So please follow with me in your Bible and let us see in verses 1 to 6 what David says about creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. You see, David really gets the point that creation talks to us about God. So if God is speaking to us through creation, what is it saying? Have a look in your Bibles in verse 1. We see that the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. So in order for God to be glorified, God's work needs to be good. And it's not only good, it's great. It's amazing. We also know that God has the wisdom to not only make great things, but to make them on the scale of the universe that we have and to make them last. You see, creation isn't like those old TV stations that at midnight they stop their broadcast. No. Have a look in verse 2. It says, day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they reveal knowledge. So if you get it like David did, if you get the Bible, then when you look at creation, you will see that it is good. However, to see that it is good is only half the point. If you're listening like David did, you will know that there exists a God who is wise and powerful. It also doesn't matter whether you're watching a sunset in Dolby or whether you're watching snowflakes in North China. Have a look in verse 4. Verse 4 says, their voice goes out into all the earth. And in verse 6, David expands this idea even further. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. We all get to hear God creation's endless broadcast. Romans 1:20 says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. When David Attenborough was asked about whether he has a faith, he responded, it never really occurred to me to believe in God, which I find a very curious statement. David is a scientist. You know the old maxim, show me the proof or question everything? Yet despite all the proof that David's seen, he hasn't seen the link between creation and the Creator. Lastly, in verse 5, we see that God has pitched a tent for the sun, and later on it is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. So from this, we know that God decides how things work in creation, and therefore creation is subservient and eager to do God's will. It's not a God in itself. If you listen carefully to God's broadcast through creation, you won't make an idol of creation, but rather you'll see that it points to God. So to recap, the first six verses, we saw that God's excellent handiwork glorifies him, that God's broadcast is going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that we have no excuse to deny that God exists, and that God is to be worshipped and not creation. The second point that I'd like to make today is that God speaks to us through his word. If we learnt in verses 1 to 6 that God speaks to us through creation, we're going to learn through verses 1 to 7 that God speaks to us in a more intimate and direct way, which is through his word. Please have a look with me through verses 7 to 10 and see if you can pick up what David thinks about the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Notice how in verses 1 to 6 and 7 to 10, there's a transition here. In verses 1 to 6, the word the name used for God is the Hebrew word El. In your Bible, it'll just be the word God. Where in verses 7 to 10, the word Yahweh is used, which is the covenant name revealed to Moses at the burning bush. You see, the word of God is both more direct and intimate than his message of creation. I actually find it helpful to think of creation as God's public broadcast, while God's word is like a handwritten letter from God himself. Have a look at verse 7. When David says that the word of God is perfect and trustworthy, first of all, if something is perfect, it means we can't improve on it. We can't add to it. It's complete. We shouldn't take anything away from it. And if something's trustworthy, that means it is worthy of our trust. When asked, Attenborough said he has a problem believing that the word of God is true amongst all the other religious texts. And yet here again, he's missing the point entirely. He is comparing the perfect word of God with other texts that have mere human authors. It is because the word of God is perfect and trustworthy that it is like no other word, no other book on planet Earth. If we think of the word of God like David does, then it'll be the first place we go to seek answers. And when we seek those answers, we will be refreshed by the answers that we find. Note that the type of wisdom in verse 7 that David learned from the word of God was not a worldly type of wisdom, but rather one that is able to show us a path that was right and true, the path to righteousness. You'll see in verse 8 that David uses the words radiant and right to describe the word of God. When something is irradiated or illuminated, it means that we can see it. We can see the path that God has set out for us. Not only has he shown us the path, but he's shown us that that path is morally right and straight. So if we're reading the word of God like David, then we will clearly see the path that God has laid before us. And because it is right and straight, it will give our hearts joy, just as David says it does. As we move further along in verse 9, David says that the word of God is pure and firm, and again it speaks of the perfection of the word of God. Because the word of God can't be improved, it will continue to be relevant and applicable. Notice how David says as well that the decrees of the Lord are firm and all of them are righteous. Not only is there harmony between all of God's decrees, but they all tell a cohesive story and they all make sense. If you know the word of God like David did, then you will know that God's word applies equally to you as it did to David. It's still relevant. Lastly, in verse 10, David says that the word of God is more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. David's saying that it's better to seek God's wisdom and training in righteousness than anything else that you can learn. If you're growing in the wisdom of the word of God like David was, then you'll know that God's counsel through his word is more profitable than anything we can pursue on earth. To recap what we've learned in verses 7 to 10, God's word is perfect and trustworthy. God's word illuminates the right path for us to take. God's word is complete, perfect, and timeless, as relevant today as it was in David's time. And seeking God's wisdom through his word is better than any other pursuit that we could take. So in verses 1 to 6, we saw that God spoke to us through creation. In verses 7 to 10, we saw that God speaks to us through his word. So let's now look how we're expected to respond to God. What should our lives look like if we've received God's public broadcast, and we've read God's word. Please follow with me in your Bible through verses 1 to 14 and see if you can pick up what David was learning through the word of God. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. When David says in verse 11, by them your servant is warned, it means that by reading the word of God, David has been made aware of his sin. Further down in verse 13, it says, keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. This is important. David takes sin seriously, and his attitude is that sin is not to be tolerated. Notice also the role of God's word in making us aware of sin is emphasized in verse 12. Who can discern their own errors? So without the word of God, we'd have no way to know what God expects of us. If you have read the word of God like David did, you have been made aware of sin and its seriousness, and you will long to be free of sin and blameless. In verse 11, again, David says, in keeping them, there is great reward, when referring to the law of God. It is clear here to see that David sees the intrinsic value of the word of God in keeping God's law, because they are righteous, true, and rewarding when kept. If today you see the word of God as just a list of rules, then you can learn something from David. Take the advice of David that keeping God's law benefits those who keep them. If David saw the benefit, then you probably can too. In the last two verses of this psalm, verse 13 and 14, David makes a request of the Lord to keep him from willful sins, and that the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart will be pleasing in the Lord's sight. David is looking or trusting in the Lord for redemption. This is very important. The object that you place your trust in is critically important. David Attenborough, on the one hand, placed his trust in science, while David of the Bible, on the other hand, placed his trust in the Lord. So today I'd like to ask you, which David do you want to be like? David of the Bible got the point that God speaks to us through creation, while David Attenborough ignored the evidence that was in plain sight for all of us to see. David Attenborough saw the Bible as no more important than any other book in the world, while David saw that the Bible, the Word of God, is perfect and able to make wise in righteousness. Because David of the Bible read the Word of God, he was made aware of sin. And because the Bible is right and radiant, he was able to trust in the Lord, his rock and his redeemer. David Attenborough, on the other hand, is still just playing with rocks. If you're speeding your way through life without taking time to hear hear God's voice, you need to stop. You need to listen. Don't turn out like David Attenborough, who has missed God's voice through creation and therefore missed God speaking in his word too. Be like David, who took time to see God in creation, who was devoted to the word of God, and most importantly, put his trust in the Lord, his rock and his redeemer. Let me pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, thank you that you have communicated with us in an intimate, in a direct way, God. I pray that as we walk outside today and we see creation, that we will be reminded that you are speaking to us, God. That when we have questions, that we will go to you, your word, God, and that we will meditate on it day and night. And we pray that you speak to us when we do this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.